Hi. How many of you have not heard of Ghost Group? Okay. Well, you have used it, I'm sure. I'm going to talk about color management and Free Type 2 and some of the latest development in Ghost Group. Some of you probably have know Ralph Giles. He's not here, and I'm here, so mostly I'm here because he's not here. my involvement with Ghost Group is quite recent, but I was interested in Fawn for about 15 years ago, and so I spent a lot of time sort of learning CJK, LaTeX around that time, and PostScript, and then gradually doing reverse engineering printer protocols. And if you've got a USB wireless device on your Linux system, which is made by Realtek, then that kernel module actually had my name on it. So I've gone slightly deep in the hardware side of things. That's me. So GhostScript is a document conversion and rendering engine. It's essential to the Linux printing pipeline. So if you could print, I'm sure you have used it somehow and you don't know it yet. It's dual license under GPL and has a proprietary license as well. We actually sell that technology to some printer manufacturers, some fax machine manufacturers, and also do commercial consulting as well. The source code is available. Apparently, 20 years ago, when Peter L. Deutsch met Richard Stallman, Richard Stallman actually managed to get Peter L. Deutsch to write down and say GhostScript has to be available under free license forever and ever. We are committed to having it under GPL forever and ever, basically. It runs on all major operating systems, including Windows, of course, and some embedded environment, of course. That's how we make some of the money, some of the clients. I wasn't too sure what the audience are, so I prepared my slide in a way that would cover quite a wide audience, but I'm going to skip over some of the slides as I go along. This is how the GhostScript infrastructure works overview. You can take multiple language as input, multiple document format. PDF and PostScript are what you normally have. Most people would be only aware of what happens up there, so you would have Firefox, OpenOffice, and say other things, and then you would send your document through down here to CUPS, and then store as PostScript, and then render through the graphic library, and then send to the printer drivers. Some people would be using that workflow to send to the fax device, and if you're using Image Magic, you would probably doing PostScript down to GhostScript, and then use some of the raster formats down here. We can use a lot of fonts, formats, when you have got a PDF or a PostScript file which hasn't got the embedded fonts inside. We can interact with various fonts to load it on demand. The screening technology on this side is for rendering. You know, most computer work on an RGB model, where an additive color model, where you've got red, green, blue. But when you are actually printing, you would be actually putting cyan, magenta, blue color dots on your media. So you actually have to reverse the color. And say, back in the black and white days, you would have black dots, but you try to put a grayscale on your media, and then you would try to space your black dots around so that it would have a smooth appearance. That's what that screening technology is about on that side. Keep going. So the color space part of GhostScript is actually a later add-on. We support all the major color space, PostgreSQL level 3 device, gray device, RGB device, CMYK, various device independent color space, and PDF, some of the ICC based color space. Most PCLs is RGB based and assumed to be sRGB. And when we're talking about XPS, then most of it is defined by color profiles. Now, GhostScript support all of that. But there's a catch there. The GhostScript project actually started about 20 years ago when most printing was still black and white. In those days, you would be somewhere down here where you send in your black dots and it comes out and sent to your printer. We gradually put in the color rendering. I think the process color model is the first thing to put in first. So you invert your RGB color into a CMYK model. And you try to have an accurate color reproduction down here. So you put in a color rendering dictionary, which map the internal color representation in GhostScript to a color value that is closer to what the printer understands before you map it to process color. Then gradually we put in the input color space there where you have a scanner, RGB image, or from a camera, which comes with a color profile, and it maps through to CIE lab color space. So for each image pixels, the workflow could actually, a color value would be transformed multiple times for each pixel. So you have got 1, 2, 3, 4, quite a few steps there. And because they were gradually add on over time over the last 20 years, so it's become quite inefficient. For the last 18 months, Michael, I can't pronounce his surname, one of our guys, has been working on integrating, collapsing all the color mapping transforms into one transform to go from the input color value to the output color value and actually keeping track of how things should be transformed in the middle. That's a major improvement because, well, as you saw earlier, we could be transforming per pixel 3-4 times before you get to the printer, and that's quite slow. If you could collapse the step all the way through, you can speed up the workflow quite a lot in that way. So it's actually a very exciting development, and it's just been merged into Trunk on Monday. So if you check out your CVS, S subversion today, then you will get it. Huh. I'm going to skip over some of that. So this is how the command line interface works. You could pass in source profiles, the device profile, and search directories and other settings. As a side effect of this work of matching, of integrating, collapsing the color transform, and supporting color profile input in a more native way, we also support what you call the PDF rendering intent, which is a per image setting in your PDF. Say you could embed a image in your PDF and then send to the printer, and the printer probably have a different color characteristic compared to your input. And say when you're printing on fabric, for example, the silk or cotton probably can't absorb some color too well, so you won't be able to render the color as you want it from the input. And you can declare when that limitation happens what you want to do with the rendering as a per image setting in a PDF. So there are four in the PDF specification, which is relative colorimetric and absolute colorimetric, perceptual, saturation, One of them is for you actually map the white point, so you transform the entire color curve up and down to shift it slightly. And the other one, you just clip, just remove the extreme colors. Two others is implementation specific, and you try to compress the color or expand it so that you get a visually pleasing result, or for saturation, so you actually try to get extreme colors to get the most striking result, and that's quite useful for graphics design when you want to catch other people's attention. Now, I'm going to show you some bugs, actually, that when color rendering goes wrong. So this is one particular example. You can actually download it from this URL. This is the correct image, but if you actually render it through PCL Excel and then transform it back, you actually have a red color over there. And what happened there is that the PDF writer, somebody make that PDF up and say, okay, this is an image that has got a slight color thing, but I want you to map the color so that the white point actually go to white, so to correct it afterwards. So in the new architecture, I suppose this is probably not quite to the users. For a certain color workflow, you can actually have render twice as fast. This is actually the son of the main engineer. For another type of image, this is actually the worst case scenario, the CIE lab image, where it actually, for each pixel, you will map through about three, four stages. And in the new architecture, we actually map one scan line by one transform, so it would render about three times as fast compared to a month ago. I just talked about rendering intent. Last week in chunk, if you have got a PDF which have rendering intent in per image, it does nothing, basically just ignore it and say, well, I don't understand it, so I just ignore it. So all four images exactly the same last week. Now, this is what happens if you check out the code now. These two are closer to the original. Saturation is where you go for extreme colors to catch your attention. But that's another one. I think Michael actually make up the color rendering intent so that they are slightly weird, just to illustrate the point. This is just a timing curve for various different type of PDFs for rendering. So for different kind of images, you can actually get a 30% twice or three times in rendering speed. As a side effect of that work for the last 18 months, we now support version 4 of the ICC profile as well, and also the rendering intent per graphic object, which I just illustrated earlier. Now, where can I get it? Well, this is where you can get it, over the Subversion repository. It was just merged on Monday, so we can't go back anymore. It's due to get out in August, if we're lucky, so I'd like to have some guinea pigs. We have already looked at most of the regression difference, so it basically works. And I've actually bundled some source snapshots and also some Windows binary installers under my directory if you want to try it out, if one of you use Windows and don't want to check out the Subversion repository. So this is one big pile of work that has been going on for 18 months. Now, in the last open printing summit, which was only a month ago, since we are finishing the Calavent profile work, actually Tim from Red Hat has asked, CUPS already support per queue ICC profiles. You could actually configure your print queue that, say, for the same physical printer, you can have different print queues with different ICC profiles. And you could embed your profiles per print jobs as well. He actually asked, can I have some favorite bits of profile that some user use? For example, you would have your, some user might have their own monitor and or previewer or the cheaper printers next to their computer, and you want to match that color to a network printer. So it's a frequent user setting that you want to cater for. And the user might have a stash of expensive or very rarely used media in his drawer. He only take it out when he need to do some presentation. So that's actually a useful use case where a user might actually want to upload a profile that he like to use for recall for his own jobs without sending it per jobs over and over. And we would like some input for the user interface design as well. So this is what is going to happen in the next 6 months or something. Okay. We also support various font technologies as well. In the last, actually, 2-3 months, we have integrated FreeType 2. Now, I'm going to show you how things could go wrong with font rendering as well. This is the original PDF. Now, this is what happens when you send it through GoScript 8.63 and then view it with XPDF 3. So you've got something very smudgy there, and something is completely gone, and a glimpse is sort of slightly misrendered, and also that is totally messed up. But actually, that part is an XPDF bug, nothing to do with us, but those are. So up to 8.71, we actually have our own in-house font renderer, because FreeType is actually a little bit younger than GoScript. But you actually saw three different problems, which is a smudge, which is to do a stroke width, and what happens over there in the previous graph was a mass problem, and also Apple has a patent which just expired for two-type bytecode instructions. And so actually 8.71 last week is actually not too bad. It's only have sort of slew, two slide problem. That's actually a patent bytecode instruction problem. And the other one is actually an Acrobat viewing artifacts, which I've already written down that you can switch off the text moving to get rid of that effect over there. So it's actually a viewing problem. Now, one lesser known features of GoScript is it can render by band to minimize memory footprint mostly at the moment. It's actually doing it by default now. So it actually automatically switch on. But we don't do parallel rendering yet. It's actually an ongoing effort. But you could actually try it out if you want to switch it on to play with it a little bit. I'll skip over that. Okay, we have got a little project on the side which we sell to some of the embedded market. Commercially, we call it Ghostlight, but internally, but it's based on what you call a MIL PDF. It's a lightweight PDF viewer which is optimized for small memory footprint and for anti-aliased graphics for high-resolution rendering at low-resolution devices. And we are talking to Debian to ship it, but mostly because it's basically a commercial enterprise, we have been concentrating on Windows and ARM's development at the moment. There is an existing X11 GUI, but it sucks a little bit. So if any of you want to play with it a little bit, that's fine by me. It's under GPL and also a commercial licensing as well. So for commercial licensing, you can talk to the commercial guys. But if you want GPL, it's GPL. Okay, done. That's last line.